Good morning, church. Good morning, church. You know, sometimes things just speak to you and you have to share it, no matter what. You just have to share it. Our call to worship this morning is going to be taking a slightly different approach. Please listen to this particular song that we're going to play and think of it as a song from God to you. The words will be up on the screen. Father, we thank you that we are your beloved and your soul's delight. We thank you that you have been dreaming of us since before there was time. Help us to live our life in your image, the image of love. Amen. Please stand.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah
Thank you for joining us this morning, whether you're here in the building or whether you're watching us live on YouTube or later on this week. Thank you. We just hope this service will help you come into that relationship, a special relationship with God, whom you are His beloved. Let's sing a moldy oldie, as I would call it, Kumbaya. Thank you that we all woke up this morning and can celebrate the gift of this special day. We ask a blessing on all aspects of this service. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Please make yourself comfortable. We've got quite a few notices to get through this morning. So for those of you that don't know, this is the last week of the church calendar before we enter into Advent. So, just a few notices. Friday Friends, our usual monthly event where we just get together and have a cup of coffee and a chat in here. This Friday, it will be the last one for the year. So please, between 10 and 11:30. So if you wish to join us, please feel free to come along. We'd love to have you. Pantry 152 has been going an absolute great success. We've had so many people come and require our assistance of donations of food and stuff. At the moment, though, we're looking to give away some Christmas hampers to those people that come in. If you could possibly organise some Christmas treats, puddings, you know, those Corinthian sticks and stuff, things like that, maybe some little gifts and toys that we could give to families that have kids that aren't normally going to get presents, please bring them along. Apparently, I think we're going to be giving them out from the second week before Christmas and the week before Christmas as part of our pantry when people come in. So, and there is a list of suggestions in the foyer if you want to know what you could possibly bring along. Next week is going to be a huge week for our church. We have our congregational meeting, and it's also our Thank You Sunday. So next week we have a big service where we thank people for what goes on within the church. Our congregational meeting where we will elect elders and members of the church council. And Colleen has asked me to mention that at the as you come in, there is the agenda and also the minutes of the last meeting. So if you'd like to get a copy, have a look through so we can do the stuff at the start of the service for clearing the acceptance of the minutes from the previous meetings, that would be great. Thank you very much. The last one I have is also next week in the afternoon. A Cornish choir is going to be playing here in the church. And Daphne Magrin has asked me to read something to you. She would like to encourage members of our congregation to come along. She sent me an email last night saying that Daphne was involved as a pianist and then conductor for 17 years of the Cornish Choir. Leon has sung with the choir and also was a soloist. Some people may remember that they sang on two separate occasions here at the church in the last 8 to 10 years. So it's been a while since they've actually been here. And they also performed a Christmas cantata, Night of Miracles, and on one other occasion presented a service of carols and the meaning and significance of Christmas symbols. Over the past few years, both Leon and Daphne have been singing in the choir and are currently still involved. On occasions, Daphne has also played for them. If you are free next Sunday afternoon, that will be here, and that starts at 2 p.m., and there is a fee of $10 per person. And I believe that includes afternoon tea as well. Marge.
Good morning, all. Do you know that you are quite amazing?
Yeah. Yes, I've known that for a while.
Good. I'm glad you understand how amazing you are. A big, big, big thank you to everybody who contributed to the Christmas market yesterday. It was a magnificent team effort, and a couple of people who hadn't been involved before said how much they'd enjoyed it, and that was really good to just have that sense of fellowship and connection as we were serving the community. It was indeed a magnificent team effort, with the tally at this stage, wait for it, yeah, drum roll please, $4,500. You certainly deserve a clap, because it was a great day. And we even beat the weather, well, sort of. There was a bit of a scramble at the end to get the tents down before they got totally soaked. But this will allow us to minister to a lot of people through Pantry 152. All of those funds will go there to support those for whom just a loaf of bread is a gift. We don't know what it's like, but some of the stories are really sad, and if we can make a smile on another person's face, I think that's what it's all about. because God loves every one of those people as much as he loves everybody else. And they just need help to have a bit of a moment of joy. So thank you so much for all that. We'll give you a final update when Neil has counted an enormous bag of coins, because a lot of the goods on the sweets table were $2, $1, whatever, and Neil wasn't here at the end of the day, and I watched my husband try to lift this huge bag of coins and then kneel down, put it in the safe, and then actually get up again. I was a bit concerned he might not get up again. So thank you, everybody, for such a wonderful, wonderful support, contribution, love and caring. You are amazing.
Can I just add one extra thing to that as well? The people that were in here didn't really get an indication of what the weather was like out there. My wife and I, we were doing the buttered chicken. There was people on the sausage sizzle and the hot dogs. And under those marquees, it was like a sauna. I kid you not. It was like 35 degrees. And the heat that you generate from your thing, it was like a sauna. So to all you guys that worked out there under those marquees, a special thank you. And I hope you drank plenty of water and you're not dehydrated this morning.
Good morning. My turn. Neil, how come you're not out counting your bag of money now? Three things just briefly. Firstly, congratulations to Sandy Wilson, who has just recently completed his Master's in Information Technology. Well done, Sandy.
Did you pass?
He didn't know I was going to do that. Now, you will have read in the grapevine that at the end of the year, Neil is stepping back from his role as treasurer and also property team convener, which is a bit sad in some ways. But I just want to invite all of you to think prayerfully about taking on the role of treasurer for the church. Doesn't have to be a bloke, could be a woman. But God isn't done with any of us, and we all have gifts and skills, and we bring them and use them throughout our lives. And so, you know, just be open to God whispering to you if you know how to count money, particularly bags of coin, and so on. And you think, yeah, maybe I could do that. Then please have a quiet chat with Neil and he can fill you in a little bit more about what's involved. You don't have to be an accountant to do the task, but you do have to know how to use spreadsheets and stuff like that, I think. Would that be right, Neil? Yeah, that's it. So please have a think. As Adrian's already said, Advent Sunday is next Sunday and I'm looking for some volunteers to start each service during Advent on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with our Advent wreath. So if you would like to participate in that on any of the Sundays across Advent or Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, would you please come and speak to me after the service so I can jot your name down? There is the capacity to have at least 5 people each Sunday. Doesn't have to be 5, and it's okay if we don't get 5, that's fine. But if you'd like to participate, particularly next week, would you please come and talk to me after the service? Thank you.
Guess what? It's the end of the notices. Should have been a credit thing for all this, shouldn't it? We've come to that time now in our service where we offer back to God a little bit of what he's given us, just to help further his kingdom. And we're going to sing one of my favourite songs at the moment called Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. Please remain seated.
What gift of grace?
As we come before you with our offerings, we are reminded of our constant need for you in our lives. You are our provider, our sustainer, and our strength. Without you, we are nothing. May these gifts be a symbol of our dependence on you, acknowledging that we have come, all we have comes from your hand. Help us to rely on you more fully in every aspect of our lives, trusting in your unfailing love and care. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, and is entitled "The Destruction of the Temple Foretold." As he came out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down."
When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumours of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." And the second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 to 25. "And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days,' says the Lord, 'I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds.' And he adds, 'I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more.' Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." A call to persevere. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is the word of the Lord.
Today has a theme of hope, and I want to give you hope that I'm not going to show you as many slides as I did last time I was here. So, you're hoping I'm going to start? A pilgrim from Earth was having a conversation with God one day, and the pilgrim said, "God, I'd like to know what heaven and hell are like." And God led the pilgrim to two doors. And the pilgrim looked in the first door, and in the middle of the room was a large round table, and in the middle of the table was a big pot of stew, which smelled delicious. It made the pilgrim's mouth water. But the people sitting around the table were thin and sickly, and they appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons with very long handles that were strapped to their arms, and each found it possible to dip into the pot to get a spoonful of stew on the spoon. But because the handle was longer than their arms, they could not get the spoons back into their mouth. And the pilgrim shuddered at the sight of their misery and suffering. "That is hell," said God. And they went to the next room, and opened the door, and it was exactly the same as the first room. There was a large round table with a large pot of stew, which made the pilgrim's mouth water. And the people were equipped with the same long-handled spoons, but they were well-nourished and plump and laughing and talking. "I don't understand," said the pilgrim. And God smiled. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our ears and our hearts that we may hear your word for us today. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Mark 13 belongs to a group of biblical literature that is called apocalyptic. And other examples are the books of Daniel and Revelation. And in fact, the New Testament book of Revelation has the little title in the Greek as the Apocalypse of John. Now, apocalypse means revelation, that which is uncovered or to pull a lid off something. And apocalyptic literature can seem like an optical illusion in some ways, where there's more than one way to understand what's happening, what you can see. But when we take the lid off, it's disillusionment, when we realise that what's really happening is quite different. I guess it's where ideas are actually made plain, where what was hidden is now uncovered or revealed. And so if we think about an apocalypse now, which besides being the name of a 1979 movie, would you believe it's that long ago, we think about the impending, the imminent, the ultimate, the disaster or final terrible doom. And the apocalypse is the unveiling or uncovering or revealing of the end of the world as we know it. You know, it's horrible. It's an absolute disaster. So in Mark 13, when Jesus comes out of the temple, one of his disciples makes a comment about the magnificent buildings and large stones. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem and seen the Western or Wailing Wall, you can see those large stones still there. But Jesus says, it's all going to come crashing down. It's the apocalypse. It'll be terrible. And then, after they've crossed the valley and gone up to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sits down for a teaching moment because his inner core of disciples, Peter, James, John and Andrew, they want to know when and how will we know and what will be the signs to look for. And so what does Jesus say in response to their questions about this impending doom, the horrible apocalyptic end of the world? He says, beware, watch out, don't get led astray. This will happen. There will be wars and rumours and famines. In other words, a huge disaster is on its way. And it sounds scary, but, and it's a big but, that's not where the story ends. This huge disaster is countered by divine intervention, the coming of the Son of Man, a supernatural, defiant vision of hope beyond description. And if it sounds like a flight of fantasy, that kind of hope is necessary because that is what it takes to counter the terror of what's to come. So how are you feeling? Nice and peaceful? Calm and comfortable? Or maybe not so calm and comfortable with this awful outline of the terror that's in store for our world? But it helps. It helps if we realise that, as writer Lisa Hancock says, Jesus isn't telling us what will happen to scare us, but to assure us that God is still with us. God is still with us. So what do we do? Well, let's have a look at the Hebrews 10 reading again. The first eight verses, from verses 11 to 18, seem to be comparing Jesus to the old temple rituals with blood and water being used to repeatedly cleanse people of their sin. Whereas Jesus, on the other hand, that was a once and for all happening. Just once. By putting our faith in what God has accomplished through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, we have forgiveness and we have hope for a better life. And verse 19 begins, therefore, because of Jesus, we go on in confidence, we go in faith, trusting in Jesus. And we have hope that whatever happens, even the chaotic, apocalyptic revealing of the end of the world, we know that God is with us. And verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews 10 then say something about how we're to live, knowing all that. When it says, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. So if I sum all of this up and put the Mark 13 and the Hebrews 10 passages together, then the message is this. Don't worry about the end of the world, because we don't know when it will be, and there's no point in trying to predict it, even if we think we see lots of wars and famines and earthquakes happening. So rather, focus on what we do know, that God is here now, and that's what we know. That's the hope we can be confident about. It's the hope in what God has already done in Jesus. And what's more, that's the foundation for us to provoke one another to love and good deeds, to meet together and encourage one another. Now, it sounds a bit provocative to say provoke one another, but does it make sense to you? Of course, with the human propensity to catastrophize, to look for and to be drawn to all the terrible, fearful disasters and ruins of society, and to worry about what's going to happen under another term of Trump, or the effects of climate change on sea levels, or the rising cost of living in an inflationary economy, or, you get the point? With all that noise promoted by the very loud voices of those who have a vested interest in raising our fear levels, like newspaper barons, if you still get the newspaper, or TV network bosses and social media owners, it's not surprising that it's hard to hear the hopeful voice of Jesus or the guidance that we've got from Hebrews 10. But that hope is there. And the guidance from Hebrews 10 is still there. So what is God calling us to do in these strange and sometimes fearful times? Let us provoke one another to love. Let us provoke one another to good deeds. Let us meet together. Let us encourage one another. Because these are the actions that Jesus wants us to focus on. And those four actions are related. The last two, meeting together and encouraging one another, well, they're the last two on the list, but they're probably one of the first two that we need to think about. They're especially important to a congregation like this. You know, the Vines. We are stronger together And we saw that yesterday, didn't we, when we worked together, many of us, to help make a difference by raising funds for the poor. And it's important for us to continue to meet together and to continue to encourage one another, to remind one another that our faith matters and it makes a difference. And so we meet together for worship. We meet together for fellowship. We meet together for fun, and we meet together for service like yesterday. Meeting together is actually a great way to encourage one another. That's the first two bits of guidance from Hebrews chapter 10. The other two bits of guidance are these: love one another and do good works or good deeds. And remember that God loves you. God loves all of us. And 1 John 4 verse 19 says, we love because he, God, first loved us. So don't be afraid of something like the coming of the end of the world. And we can't do much about that at all. But we can love. And we can do good works. And those two things will be seen by others in the community, especially if that love and those good works are outwardly focused, if they are other-directed, if they demonstrate that faith is not something that we keep for ourselves, but we keep giving away and inviting us to join with us to celebrate the hope that we have. Now, I've called this sermon When Optimism is Stonewalled. And what I mean by that is that we can feel at times that our optimism, our hope that in what's to come in life, has been stuck behind a barrier, behind high stone walls, and it's kind of crushed us and we feel overwhelmed. And when that happens, when we're feeling more hopeless than hopeful about the future, then we need to go back to the basics. The basics of our faith in the Gospels and the Epistles, and to remind ourselves to always be faithful, to always be hopeful, to remember that hope is stronger than memory, that our faith and our hope in the risen Christ is real, even in our times of struggle. Because that's where we'll find the peace and the joy to keep going, to keep on keeping on. Remember the story I began with today? Two rooms, same conditions for the people in each room. Only the people in one room were miserable and starving, and that's hell. The people in the other room were plump and well-nourished and full of joy and laughter. I don't understand, said the pilgrim. And God smiled and said, it's simple. In this room, they have learned to feed each other as a sign of their love. So I wonder, how will you feed one another? How will you show your love for others? How will you do your good deeds that demonstrate your faith and your hope in the risen, crucified Jesus? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, when the world seems to be rapidly going to rack and ruin, help us to remember your constant, never-ending, boundless love for us, even with all our frailties and imperfections. And help us, we pray, through your Holy Spirit, to meet together to encourage one another, to love, and to do good works. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, let me help you there. I was listening. I'm sorry, I shouldn't make fun of that, should I? Ian requested a particular song which I hadn't heard before, called Beauty for Brokenness, or God of the Poor, which is the words in the chorus. Let's stand and sing this song together.
Change our lives. Let's join it together as we share our prayer. Our Father, we pray for every nation and race that our actions and lifestyle bear our belief that all people everywhere are our sisters and brothers. Whatever their country, eternal and everlasting God, we believe that our worship draws us to you and towards our neighbours on earth. We pray for the whole creation that we may learn before it's too late to respect the uniqueness, the fragility, and the beauty of our earth and all its creatures, their city, or their tribe, whatever their education or their culture, whatever their circumstances, religion or colour. We pray for peace in our torn and troubled world. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ that it be true and joyful, wholesome and active, rediscovering that you called it into being for the service and the salvation. We pray for the witness of our church community, that as we grow in faith, love and hope, help us to understand that no planning for the future, however necessary, no program, how carefully conceived, can relieve us of the necessity of going forward into a future that cannot be planned, of risk, of danger, of hope in your incalculable grace. We pray for those who are sick. Dear God, lift them high on the eagle's wings, fill their mind with your truth, and cover their heart with hope. Protect them always and make them feel safe and secure beside you. Walk with them through each moment. Come to be strength when they feel weak. Be counsel when they need comfort. Help them to rest and lay down when they need to, and allow others to take the strain. We pray that throughout this hard time, they may know our love for them and your love for them. We pray for ourselves. Not one of us has ever found or given enough tenderness or love in our life, enough truth, freedom, beauty, goodness, and joy. We are always travelling to a new tomorrow. Lord, we pray for our world, we pray for others, we pray for ourselves. We pray because you have put within us an unquenchable hope. We pray because we live for the ultimate. We pray because Jesus is our Lord and your kingdom is in his midst. Let's now join together as we say the Lord's Prayer.
Father in heaven, hallowed be
your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Please be upstanding for the benediction and our last chorus.
We don't use that phrase very often, do we? Please be upstanding. Not out there.
Not outstanding, upstanding.
Well, be outstanding is good, yes. We're all outstanding in our field, especially the farmer inspecting his crop. We have an opportunity to continue doing a number of things in a moment. we're going to have an opportunity to spend some time together in fellowship. And when you have morning tea, if you're able to stay for that, you then are going to be able to continue to remember the good things from yesterday. And if you haven't got enough morning tea, then you can buy some more, because there's a bit of food there, or plants. But you can also perhaps come and have an opportunity for someone to pray with you. Just come down the front somewhere and someone, one of the elders will pray. That's all part of what it means to be God's people. But then as we prepare to go out from this place, to continue to be the people whom God loves, we have greater opportunities still to be together, to get to gather together, to love one another, to express the hope that we have as we share in fellowship and do good deeds. But may we, as we do that, know also that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is always with us and remains with us always.
Peace.